We've been hearing a lot in the news about Sierra Leone, and here's someone with us this morning on Sunday Morning Live who's doing something about the poverty and the things that are going on, the challenges to education. We have with us the co-founder of the Finaza Foundation, Adisa Septuri. And he is born and raised in Oakland, but he's, you know, a world citizen now. He's all over the place. Received his BA from University of Massachusetts at Amherst and Master of Fine Arts in Film from NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. And I know another student who just graduated from there, so that's really a big deal. So let's go ahead and let him tell you more about him. Good morning, Adisa. Welcome to Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning, Isadora. Good morning, and I'm so glad to be here this morning. I feel like I was actually born on a Sunday. I mean, I love the spirit around Sunday. I love the whole church, you know, the revelation of God, everything on Sunday morning. So just glad to be here this morning. Thank you.
Well, the more I read about you, the more intrigued I became, because a lot of people go to Africa and they say they really want to help. I was one. And I haven't done anything specific. I mean, I've always been sympathetic, but I've never done that thing that I wanted to do. And you went over there. You enjoyed your time there. You saw the beauty because you're a photographer and a filmmaker.
A filmmaker, photographer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you saw the beauty, you captured the beauty in your images and whatnot. But then when you came back, now I don't know exactly how this happened. Somehow you and Isaiah Washington connected. Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, actually, you know, just back up a little bit. What happened was I got a call because I work in the business as a sound man, too. So I got a call. I'd worked with Isaiah Washington a few times on some little promotional spots he was doing. And Isaiah had looked up his connection by way of a DNA mm-hmm. test. You know, a lot of African Americans are doing that now. And he found out that his lineage was from Sierra Leone. So he wanted to take an exploratory trip over there to see how he could help the people. I got a call from him, and he asked me if I would join his convoy. I was overjoyed to go. Didn't know much about Sierra Leone at the time, but I was up for the adventure. It would probably be my third time going to Africa.
Oh.
And so we packed up. Went over, it was me and another guy who was actually doing the photography, and I was doing the sound. And we went over there, spent about 7-8 days, and I just, from the time we got there, having seen some of the poverty, so, you know, Sierra Leone had gone through a 10-year civil war, so some of that was still very much evident. You still saw sort of the trauma of that war in people's faces. And then we started just traveling the countryside, and Isaiah was asking questions about what he could do. And so then, but I had my own personal journey, too. I mean, I really got affected by the children over there. We went to an area called Kono. Kono is where the war first broke out.
Hmm.
And it's also an area infamously known for its diamond production. So a lot of diamonds, you know, we're talking about maybe $25 million to $125 million a year in diamond production comes out of that area.
Hmm.
And so during the war, the RUF, which is the Revolutionary United Front, had confiscated that area, and then just the live atrocities that happened with them cutting off people's limbs, and you know, just a lot of senseless violence around the civil war that occurred there. So I saw a lot of that. You know, I saw a lot of the children working in the mines. I saw a lot of hopelessness. I saw a lot of despair. But then on the flip side, again, I saw the beauty of Sierra Leone. And then when we came back from Sierra Leone, I had gotten tremendously sick. I mean, when I got back to America, I was diagnosed as having, at the time, we didn't know what I had. I just got rushed to the emergency room. I spent about a month there. I suffered from multiple organ failure. I had my kidneys had failed, my lungs had failed, my, just everything. And so the doctors didn't think I was going to make it. And this was the direct result of me going to Sierra Leone.
So, it was the Hanta virus. What is that?
It was the Hanta virus. I had gotten, and you know, most people are immune to this in that region of the world, but I had come into contact with a mouse, and if you come in contact with its feces, then, you know, something to that effect. I must have come in contact with it. So it shut me down. So when I came back to America, I mean, I was in the hospital. My mother came up, and the doctors just knew I wasn't going to make it. At that time, they'd given me like sort of a 10% chance of making it. And then we just, people in the community really came out for me. They did prayer vigils. You know, my mother was there for me, parents, friends. And through all that support and love, I made it. Somehow I made it.
Your body fought it off. Now, wait a minute. When you went over there, didn't you have to take a ton of shots and things?
I took every shot known to man. Yeah. the shots cost more than the plane ticket over there.
So you took all these shots and still this virus came up.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes I like to think of it as God's intervention or as a way of, you know, I was living my life. I was doing what I needed to do. I was community oriented. I was helping people. But there was something in that event, the hantavirus, me going into the hospital, that intervention, that caused me to go inward and look differently at my life. And so when I was given my gift of life back, I decided at that moment that I was going to go over there and make a difference and contribute to the people of Sierra Leone.
Now, you started this foundation. Pronounce it for us.
Okay, it's called Finaza Foundation.
And what does that mean?
I was, you know, if you've ever called Africa at any point, you know, there's always a lot of static on the phone.
Uh-huh.
So I'm calling over there after I had gotten well. I was determined to go over there and make a difference, but I wanted to create an organization first and get some structure there. So I wanted to come up with a name, and I was calling over there trying to find a name that had meaning and sense of purpose to it. And one time I called over there to a friend, and he told me, well, listen, this name, Finaza, is what he told me. He said, Finaza, and it meant development for the future. So I told, perfect name. So when I get over to Sierra Leone, he told me, I said, he sees all the posters and the flyers, everything we got with Finaza Foundation on it. Same guy that had given me the name over the phone that said development tomorrow. And he said, well, where'd you get that name from? I said, what do you mean? You gave me that name. Now, mind you, it's a lot of static on the phone. He said, I didn't say Finaza. I said Schnava. I said, oh, my God.
Well, now it's a name. I'm sure if you went through it, you could say the Foundation for the International something. Anyway, you figure it out and make it.
But let me just let you know how God works, and just to wrap that story up. So I took that to me. The name comes out of the ether. It's a created name. Okay.
That's right.
So in effect, the definition we created around that was about creating something out of nowhere and nothing, right? So we can manifest wherever we are. So that's the embodiment of the name, Finaza.
So glad I asked that question. Now, on your site, and if you're at home and you'd like to see Adisa and how he looks and his partner, they're both co-founders, Michael Caulfield, go to finazafoundation.org. So it's F-I-N-A-Z-A, foundation spelled all the way out, .org. And then you click on team, and that's where I am at his bio, and of course Michael's bio. How did you meet Michael Caulfield, who I hear is the founder of Wire Image? And those of us who are in the business of journalism, we know Wire Image, but I've asked a number of people, they're like, Wire Image, what's that? So tell us the story.
Well, Michael went over on that first trip with Isaiah. So we were there together. We were partners. He was doing the photography on that trip, and I was doing the sound with the I was working with the documentary team. And so we actually experienced that whole thing together. And when I had gotten back, he was one of the guys, or a friend of mine. We became quick friends during that trip. And then when I got back and I got sick, we became even quicker friends. And once I made the commitment to go back, he jumped on board. And he came up with the organization.
Because I saw Wire Image's logo, and before I knew he was involved, and I said, oh, that's cool. They have Wire Image as a sponsor. I'd never seen them sponsor anything. And just for those of you who don't know, Wire Image is the go-to place for, you know, the red carpet pictures and all kinds of things. He founded this online place for people to, you know, all the photographers kind of. Well, is it a set group of photographers or?
Yeah, well, it was Michael, and he got together with a collection of other photographers that were just popular, that were well-known, and they came together and formed Wire, and it was a unique collective, and then he formed a business venture around it.
And it's a great thing. So, okay, so that's Michael Caulfield. Yeah. And Sierra Leone, now, in everything that I've read about Africa, that child soldier thing doesn't seem to be that germane to the area. Is that something that other outside forces came up with, or is it because of the poverty the children were drawn to it, or the parents pushed the kids toward it? How did that start?
Well, no, you know, it's a workforce, and what happens is these warlords come together and they want to either overtake, I mean, whatever senseless means they have, you know, and sometimes it may be righteous indignation, but to go about it that way in terms of saying, okay, I can't recruit, you know, regular men or women into this, so now I'm just going to go into children. And then a lot of times they abduct the children, too. And they go right into the villages. They raid the villages, they abduct the children, get them into, you know, get them to be a part of that unit, and then they drug them. They drug them, and, you know, they have them doing gunpowder and cocaine, and just all kind of insidious things, so that when they do this violence, it has a numbing effect on them. They're not even in their right mind.
So that makes sense. That makes sense. They're not in their right minds when they're doing all these atrocities. And what about all the limbs that are hacked off? What is that about?
Well, you know, in the case of Sierra Leone, they didn't want people to vote. There was elections coming on. There was a lot of misguided elections in Sierra Leone up until that point, sometimes Democratic, sometimes not. And so here's this other fraction comes up, and their whole thing is, no, we're going to cut people's limbs off so they can't vote. And this is sort of an alarming thing. When we cut their limbs off, it's going to be a signal to everybody who wants to vote. So, I mean, it's just, and it's public mayhem. And that's against citizens who have, you know, who haven't done anything. And it's just created a lot of havoc over there. And it creates, it's a fear tactic is what it is.
Well, after Grey's Anatomy, Isaiah Washington went over and he did his African ancestry with Gina and the whole thing, and found out that his heritage was from over there. Do you know where your heritage is from?
You know, I'm inclined to do what John Henry Clark does. He's a Pan-African. Mm-hmm. All of Africa.
Okay.
All of them. Yeah, I haven't done the DNA test, and my partner... in this, Michelle Poco deserves mention because she does a lot of work with our foundation. She does a lot of work with the foundation.
Yeah.
You know, she wants to take the DNA test, and we talked about it. And, you know, my conversation is that, you know, I'm a Pan-Africanist. I'm all over Africa. So I don't have that disconnection around or that really need to know. You know,
well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because my son, he has been to South Africa. He connected with that place. I don't know why. I love Ghana. That's where I was. But the point is that he went and he said, you know, we always used to say that same thing you said. But he said, but when you're there and they say, so where are your people from? And you say Africa. They're like, where? You know, see, over here, Africa flies.
Right.
Over there, it's like, okay, exactly where? Anyway, so moving on to your story. When I first heard about this, I was like, he's just making some games. You know, this isn't really a big deal. This is what I'm thinking, until I saw your video. And by the way, if you're in front of your computer, if you go to EURweb.com, EURweb.com, that's Lee Bailey's Electronic Urban Report, and then type in Finaza in the search box, there's a story. And below that, there are two films that you produce those films? A Day Without Minds?
I did.
Mm-hmm. A Day Without Minds. And if you don't find it that way, I think you can go to YouTube or something. Either way, it's A Day Without Minds, MINES. Tell us about that.
Well, that project came about because we wanted to do our first major event over in Sierra Leone in the Kono District, and it was a soccer tournament. But the idea behind the soccer tournament was really to inspire hope and inspiration in the community. So we went about it by putting together the soccer tournament and taking all the kids out of the Diamond Mine.
Right, I mean, and that's what was so powerful about it. It's a moving piece when you watch it. It's only a few minutes. It's not like you got to spend all day. But it's very moving to see the kids become kids. Because when you're first filming them and they're like little men, like, oh, I'm so-and-so, and I'm, you know.
Right.
And then next thing you know, they're running around and they're doing the soccer and everybody's cheering and hugging. And you did that so they could compete to get the fees to go to school?
Well, yeah. The first year what we did was once we took them out of the mines, which was just for joy, inspiration, galvanize the community, bring them together. But we also recognized that there was a deficit there. A lot of times they were working in the mines to get money to go to school.
Okay, so they were working in the mines to get money to go to school, not necessarily to get money to support the family. Once you give them school fees, then who's going to bring the money for the family?
Yeah, well, what happens is, and you're absolutely correct. A lot of times they are working. The base level is to work in the mines to get money for the family, just subsistence survival. But on top of that, it's them working day in and day out to get money to go to school, because kids over there want to go to school, and they recognize the value of an education by way of it creating opportunities for them. So what we've been able to do with the soccer tournament is create the hope and the inspiration and create the possibility in their lives. And then we were able to raise money to send all the kids that are participating in the tournament to school. So, I mean, that was just really the first effort for the first tournament. We're in our fourth year.
That identifies those who really want to go to school because they compete?
Well, the first year we were fortunate enough to just fund all of them.
Okay.
you know, everybody. We were just able to give scholarships to everybody. Now in the third, in the second and third year, we were challenged because now we got more kids playing. We need more scholarship money. So it's always an effort year in and year out to kind of raise scholarships. And what we've been able to do, like last year, was even to the losing teams, we were able to get partial scholarships.
So you were there, and you said you got word from Michael Caulfield, who was here. What was he doing here to let you know how much money you had to work with?
Well, Michael was over here raising money. Michael was going to his partners at YRM was trying to raise money. Michael was going to celebrity contacts that he had known through the years and doing photography to get money together. And so he and then what Michael ended up doing was coming out of his own pocket a lot for that first year.
Wow.
So, you know, just so by doing that, we were able to fulfill our objectives for that first year.
Do you mind if I play some of the audio from A Day Without Minds?
No.
Okay.
I like the fact that you keep saying, I hope all people can watch it. I mean, it was just a tremendous effort on our part, not only to do the tournament, but just to document the event so that we could sort of showcase the event for the world and then just gain more support for these kids over there.
Right. But I really, you know, this is audio, so I really want people to see it because the imagery is what makes it all worth it. I mean, they're living in a beautiful place. They don't have the resources that a lot of us do over here.
Yeah.
If they had the opportunity, they could. And if the students go and get educated, then they come back and help the family and the village and beyond.
Yeah.
So that is why. Now, you had an event back in March. And how did that go in Beverly Hills?
Oh, that was awesome. It was our first fundraiser. And the cast from the hit Broadway musical, Selah. Some of the cast members came down and they supported us. I mean, it was just a tremendous event. A lot of people came out. We were looking to raise money this year for this year's soccer tournament, for this year's scholarships. And we also got donated 25 computers from Cowan Avenue Elementary School, which is just located in L.A. in Westchester.
Okay,
and
hold it right there. How is it that a school in this impoverished school district can help out with 25 computers? How could Cowan Avenue do that?
Well, let me hear you say FNAZA.
FNAZA.
No, but FNAZA is about creating something out of nowhere and no thing.
Uh-huh.
So the idea, so when they don't, we had engaged a year prior to that, we had did a pen pal project between Cowan Avenue Elementary School in L.A. and the kids of Kono. And I gave both kids flip cameras. We gave both kids flip cameras.
Cool is that?
And you know, that's posted online now, too. It's under the Bolama Cowan Project. So and this is later for the viewers to look at, but if you go to YouTube and put in the Bongama spelled BONGEMA / Cowan Project, COWAN, Cowan Project, that video will come up. But what we did quickly was just that we had both kids shoot video footage of themselves in their schools. Then I edited that together, and you'll see the interaction between the two kids, and they're asking each other's questions and, you know, sort of a cultural exchange of sorts. And so Cowan was so inspired that they decided to donate us 25 computers.
Wow, that is great, because if they have, I don't know how they're getting connectivity out there, but that is, no, I know Africa is really wireless. They, you know, they depend on those wire. As a matter of fact, in the news, there was something about some thing in the ocean outside of West Africa got obliterated and all their power went out for wireless. So I see how they're all dependent.
No, listen, and Michelle Proko is instrumental in spearheading some of this, is that, they don't have any internet out there in Kono right now, so we're looking to get sponsors on board to get solar technology with this computer project. We're looking to get sponsors to build a building so we can house the computer lab in next to the school. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fundraising going on in the next couple of months. So if people want to donate and they're out there and they're inspired by what we're talking about right now, they can go to FNAZAFoundation.org and make a contribution. Or they can contact us at info@FNAZAFoundation. You know, if they have resources by way of plane tickets, I mean, you know, just plane tickets to get over there, if they have resources by way of, you know, solar power and all other kind of things that can aid us in the venture.
Okay, real quick, what language do they speak, French?
No, they... They were colonized by the Portuguese, but then quickly after that, the English took over. So the national language over there is English, but the indigenous languages are Kono, they speak Mende, they speak Chimene,
okay.
and a host of other languages, but those are just some of the more popular ones.
Well, okay, so you can go over there and hit the ground running. You don't have to worry about coming up to speed with the language. You can just go over there and get involved.
No. Don't have to do any of that. But I need to learn some Creole just so I can make my. You know, I did go, I did come.
Yeah, because that's what they really speak.
Yeah, that's what they really speak.
One time when I was in Ghana, we were, you know, African students and American students were sitting around the room. We were just talking and everything was fine. All of a sudden, I realized I didn't understand a word they were saying. It's okay. Because they had slipped into their little pigeon thing going on. And I was like, what? Because it sounded enough like English, but it wasn't making any sense. I get you. So, okay, before we go, because we want to hit the foundation again, how do we know we won't go and get the hantavirus?
No, you won't get it.
Because you're scaring me now. You're scaring me.
No. And you know, I was very careful about that. I'm glad you brought that up. I was very careful about that because when I got better, I was very careful not to tell African-Americans what it was because African-Americans were looking for reasons.
Yes.
Not to go over there.
Right.
And I'll just be quite frank. I mean, it's the birthplace of humanity. It's where we come from. It's our homeland. Just like for Asians, China's their homeland, or for... Americans over here, European Americans of that extraction, Europe is their homeland. So we need to be very proud of the fact that we're from Africa.
Right.
And not just be like, I'm from Texas or I'm from California or I'm from Alabama.
And people catch diseases everywhere they go in America. So
everywhere they go. And let me tell you, the CDC and the World Health Organization have gone over there and they have found no traces of the hantavirus over there at all. And I am the only reported case that has ever been reported in that part of West Africa.
So it's
and
a fluke.
I stand by this. I stand by it. So that is, I don't know if it's as much of it was a hantavirus or if it was just an intervention in my life. You know, there was some divine something going on there that needed to, you know, just needed to occur. So no, people, if they go over there, you're going to be completely safe. There's no hantavirus. You know, nobody else has caught it over there. It's on record. And, no, it should be okay. I mean, just take your normal vaccinations. You know, your malaria pills,
and you should be fine.
Adisa
Sibturi's film A Day Without Minds, Sierra Leone, is award-winning. You can watch that and feel something. You'll see what he's doing, why it's bigger than soccer, why it's bigger than just sports and playtime. It's not that at all. So make sure you stop by when you're going through your monthly bills and there's some extra, you know, go on over there and donate to the cause. You can always follow him on Twitter at FanazaF. At Fanaza F, and then they have a Facebook page as well. So just start Googling Fanaza and see what all you can come up with. If you want to donate, is there a place to mail contributions as opposed to doing it online? Because some people are kind of, they don't want to do that.
Challenged.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to. They don't trust. Like my mother, I'm not using the computer for anything. So.
Well, if they reach us through info@finalfoundation.com, we can create a dialogue with them and we can get their donation.
Wait, is it .com or .org? Because I see .org on here.
Oh, .org. I'm sorry. Okay.
FinazaFoundation.org. Well, we are almost out of time, but thank you so much. Anything coming up that we need to know? I think something's in April, right?
Yeah, we're doing our tournament right now. So that's going to be 4 or 5 weeks of just tournament play with the kids, the elimination round. And then I'm flying over there in June to host the finals.
Okay. Well, have a great trip.
This is our World Cup.
And I'd like you to check back in with us if you have time so that we can get the update and see how everything is going and what specifics that you need. But thank you so much for speaking with us here at Sunday Morning Live. This is your last parting shot. Chance to say anything I didn't ask you.
Yeah, just anybody looking to create transformation and looking to make a difference. There's plenty of opportunities in Africa. I mean, we're one organization, but there are other organizations. There's Isaiah Washington's organization. And then, yeah, so just look to get involved any way you can and make a contribution so that this planet can be a better place.
All right. Thank you again.
Awesome. Talk to you. I'm not afraid to
2006, my friend Michael Cofield and I took a trip to Sierra Leone, and it was powerful. We went to the diamond mining district of Kono, and we were astounded by the contrast of beauty and poverty. But it was the children of Sierra Leone who really captured our hearts. Their resilience and strength was inspiring. Sierra Leone had been ravaged by a 10-year civil war that ended in 2001, having killed over 50,000 people and mutilating thousands more. Throughout the war, child labor was used in the diamond mines to fund the rebel soldiers. But even afterwards, the children of Sierra Leone have continued working, surviving, and suffering in the mines.
My name is Mohamed Bim. I'm a miner. I don't want to be a miner in the future. Mining is not good. It can spoil the future of a student. Because if you go to the mine and you get a one garage, you forget about the education and focus on the diamond. So you have spoiled the future.
My name is Musa Mara. I'm 14 years old. I'm a footballer. I love football. My fathers and mothers don't have nothing. They are poor. For years ago, my mother said, for this time, I don't have a school fees to pay for you. I will buy a shaker and pickers. I will journey to the mining. I keep on head and I cry.
Michael and I made a pact to return to Kono one day, but this time with the resources to really make a difference. But with thousands of children in Kono alone, could we really have an impact on their lives?